Okay, all right. Now that we know that that works, somebody remind me to turn that off when we end. All right, lesson number one here, right? So Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, okay? Obviously, the very first thing that we have to deal with in personal evangelism and sharing our faith with somebody is recognizing who is Jesus, right? Because we would think that anybody we talk to would just automatically know who Jesus is. Wrong, okay? They do not. So we have to make sure that we understand who Jesus is if we're going to try to share Christ with somebody, right? So we come to know the truth of God in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 20, our Lord Jesus Christ had gone to Calvary, bled and died for our sins. He'd been buried in a borrowed tomb and had come forth from the grave alive forevermore. He revealed Himself as the resurrected Savior to His disciples. So if you go to John chapter 20, John chapter 20, and we're not going to read the whole passage here. Obviously, this is after His resurrection. He's already appeared to the disciples. Thomas is not there, and therefore Thomas doesn't really believe. He says, unless I put my hands in His side and in His and feel His the holes in His hands and things, I won't believe, right? So 8 days later, of course, Jesus comes back. And in verse number 30 and 31, this is what it says. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Right? So this is an important verse because it shows us here that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He says these things that are written throughout this whole book that John has written, he said the purpose of this writing is so that you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Right? Now, to us, we may not really grasp what he's saying here, okay? But to writing to the Jews were looking for who? Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah, right? They were looking for the Christ, okay? Whenever you think about when we say the Lord Jesus Christ, that is not a name. There's only one name in those three words. What name is in those three words? Jesus. That is His name. Lord and Christ are both titles, okay? And many times we just think Jesus Christ is His name, right? And again, we can say that, but Christ is actually not His name. Christ is a title. Christ was the one they were looking for. Christ is the Messiah, the Deliverer. They didn't know who His name was. They didn't know what His name was going to be, right? But looking for that Deliverer. They're looking for the Messiah. So when John says here, Jesus is the Christ, he is saying something very emphatic that the Jews and those believers during that time period would really understand that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Deliverer. And then he states on top of that, the Son of God, right? So He is God. He has come from God. He's come from heaven. So the question that all of us must answer is found in Matthew chapter 22. Go back to Matthew chapter 22. And notice in verse number 41. In Matthew chapter 22, verse number 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? They said unto Him, the Son of David. Right? So here's the question that we have to answer. And this is the question that Jesus is asking the Pharisees. Who do you believe Christ is? Who do you believe? This is what he asked him. What think ye of Christ? Who do you believe Christ to be? Right? And of course, they say He's the Son of David. And then Jesus is going to help them understand that He's not just the Son of David, because what does He say here? They said unto Him, the Son of David. He said, how then doth David in spirit call Him Lord? So if He's the Son of David, then how is David calling Christ His Lord, if Christ is His Son, right? So he's showing them, he's trying to help them understand that the Christ who they believe is going to be the son of David, existed long before David ever was, right? He is from eternity. He's not just the son of David. Yes, he came to the earth and he was born in the lineage of David, but he is, he was long before David. He is from eternity, right? So the question of who Christ is remains the foundational issue of Christianity. And this is why there's such an awful attack on his person, on who Jesus is. Now, our philosophies come from how we live and what we believe about life. But as a Christian, we must develop our philosophy not from life, but from theology, right? How we live should not be developed from what we experience in life, but how we live should be developed from the Word of God. Theology is the study of God. We believe that our theology is a biblical theology because the Bible is the source for what we believe about God. So again, our philosophy about life must come from our theology. Our theology must come from the Word of God, right? Unfortunately, what's happening in society is we're getting our philosophy from culture. Our philosophy of how to live is simply coming from our culture and our society. That is not where a Christian should get their philosophy and how to live their life. It must come from the Word of God. That way, we have the right philosophy about life. So be careful that you don't get your theology from your philosophy about life, because it's not going to work, right? Again, think about what he says again in John chapter 20. Just think about it. He says, "But these are written that ye might believe, and that believing ye might have life." So what's he saying? This is where we get our belief. This is where we get our theology, our doctrine, and then that helps us to know how we're to live our life. Okay? It must come from the Word of God. And that's why Thomas realized that Jesus was both Savior and God. When Jesus finally comes and he says, "Thomas, here I am," Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." He understood who Jesus was. He wasn't just a man. He was God. And he was also his Savior, right? Now, if Jesus is who he says he is, then he is God. If Jesus is who he says he is God. If he's not God, if he is not who he says he is, if he is just part of creation as you and I, then we have a serious problem. A big problem. Because now God is not involved in salvation. God is no longer involved, and therefore, we cannot be saved through Jesus. Now again, think about many religions. They say you can believe in Jesus, but that's not enough. Why? Because they're not getting their theology, they're not getting their doctrine from the Word of God, they're getting it from what a man has said. And so if Jesus is not who he says he is, if he is not God, then God is not involved in salvation. And that means we are all lost. Every single person is lost, and there's no way for us to be saved. No way. It doesn't matter how many works you do, you cannot be saved. If Jesus is not who he says he is, if God is not involved in salvation, we cannot be saved. But because he is God, then God is directly involved in salvation, and we can be saved through Jesus Christ, through him, right? So again, as we think through some of these things, we'll begin to see why so many religions, their idea of salvation, it's not going to match up with Scripture. Whether it's dealing with, you know, getting baptized, or whether it's dealing with church membership, or whether it's dealing with keeping the Ten Commandments, or whatever it is, it's not going to align with Scripture, because first of all, there's no place in Scripture that says that. But instead of believing the Word of God, instead of believing who Jesus is, they are saying they believe in Jesus, but they do not. Now, a lot of religions will tell you, yeah, we believe in Jesus, but they do not believe that Jesus truly is God. even though they say they do. They say, yes, we believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe Jesus is God. No, they don't. Why? Why don't they? Jeff? That's true. There are some that believe he's created, but in dealing with salvation, right? In dealing with salvation, why would those that, even though they say, in many of these religions, they say they believe Jesus is God, but in actuality, they do not. Why? McKenna? That's very good, because they would have to accept him alone and not add anything to salvation. When you add something to Jesus Christ, you're saying he is not God. He is not sufficient. He is not enough. And because he is not enough, therefore he cannot be God. Therefore, something else has to be done. Okay, fine, I believe in him, but there's something that I have to do to add on to what he has done. So what he has done is insufficient. He cannot save me, and therefore he is not God. Now, they will deny that. They'll say, no, we believe he is God. Then why don't they believe what he says? No, we believe he is God. No, we believe that. Then why are you adding something to what he has already done? You see, in reality, you can say anything you want with your mouth, but in what you teach and what you believe and how you act, it's going to show what you truly believe. And they do not believe that Jesus really is God. Because if he truly is God, I don't need anything else. He is sufficient. Right? Is he not sufficient? What he has done is enough. There's nothing more that I can add on. Right? Mormons believe that Jesus was begotten as the first spirit child of the Father and one of his unnamed wives. Jesus, then as a spirit son, progressed in the spirit world until he became a God. In fact, this is what in the book Mormon Doctrine by McConkie, he says, who's kind of a Mormon leader, he says this, Christ, by obedience and devotion to the truth, attained that pinnacle of intelligence which ranked him as God. They're saying he had to ascend into the Godhood, right? He is not God. He had to become God by obedience and devotion to the truth. Salvation to them refers to that which man merits through his own acts, through life, and by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. That is from the Doctrine of Salvation written by Joseph Smith, who's a Mormon, who's the head of the Mormon Church, right? Or established the Mormon Church, right? Salvation in its true and full meaning is synonymous with exaltation or eternal life and consists in gaining an inheritance in the highest of the three heavens within the celestial kingdom. This full salvation is obtained in and through the continuation of the family unity in eternity, and those who obtain it are gods. Do you understand that to the Mormons, Jesus is nothing more than you and I? You can obtain godhood just like Jesus did. If you will be obedient and you'll do what they say and do that, you can become a God just like Jesus became a God. They do not believe that Jesus is the God, the Creator God. They believe he's just some spirit child that the Father produced from an unnamed wife, and he just gradually became God. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is a mere angel, the first being that God created in the universe. They believe that Michael was the name of Jesus before he left heaven and after his return. So they believe Michael, the archangel that the Bible speaks about, that's Jesus. Right? Unless we are in touch with this channel of communication, referring to the Watchtower Society, that God is using, we will not progress along the road to life, no matter how much Bible reading we do. To receive everlasting life in the earthly paradise, we must identify that organization, which is, of course, to them, the Watchtower Society, and serve God as part of it. To get one's name written in the book of life will depend upon one's works. You see, it doesn't matter if it's the Jehovah's Witnesses, it doesn't matter if it's the Mormons, it doesn't matter if it's the Catholic Church, it doesn't matter who it is. When you say Jesus Christ is not enough to save, you have to do something yourself to save, you're saying God, Jesus Christ is not the God. He is not God. And therefore, He cannot save. And as much as many religions, what we would call Christian religions, would never identify with the Mormons, they would never identify with the Jehovah's Witnesses. They'd say, no, we are no way even near those people. Yes, they are. They are very much near them because of what they believe about Jesus. We could look at the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and say, man, that's just ridiculous. Yep, it is. And so is saying baptism can save you. And so is saying the church can save you. And so is saying anything else other than Jesus can save you. Because it's not dealing with salvation so much, we're dealing with the person of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I think the person of Jesus Christ is important to God. I think it's pretty important, right? And so that's why we have to make sure that we are fully behind and believing what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. Because if there's any doubt in my mind about who Jesus is, how am I going to be able to share that with somebody else? If there's any doubt in my mind that, well, you know, yeah, I think it is Jesus, but I, you know, but maybe there is something else that can help. If that's what you're thinking, then friend, can I tell you, I'm concerned about your salvation. Because if that's what you're thinking, you're saying Jesus is not enough to save you or anyone else. And until we come to understand who Jesus is, you can't move past this. If you're not certain who Jesus is, how are you going to tell somebody else who Jesus is? That's why this is the foundation of it, right? Maybe you thought, hey, I'm going to come in and pastor's going to give us a few verses and a few lines how to be able to talk to people. But before we ever get to that, you've got to be absolutely certain in your heart that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He's not some created being. He is the creator of the world. And there is no other way of salvation than through Him. Peter said in Matthew 16:16, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is who He says He is. He is God. And therefore, we need to follow Him as our Savior. Even the Lord accepted what the Old Testament said about Him. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, it says, Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Right? After Jesus has resurrected and He's walking with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the Bible says Jesus went back to the Old Testament and said, Hey, look at all this. All this in the Old Testament, it was all about Me. The things concerning Himself. Our Lord accepted what the Old Testament declared about Him, that He is God. In fact, Isaiah chapter 9. Go back with me, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Well, in chapter 7, verse 14, he tells us, Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. What does the name Emmanuel mean? Man with us? Is that what the name Emmanuel means? Man with us? What does it mean? God with us. That's what the name Emmanuel means. God with us. Not man, not some spirit. It means God with us, right? He says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor." What's the next name? The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, right? He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. The Lord Jesus accepted these titles for Himself. Even when you go back to when Moses is talking to God in the burning bush, and Moses says, "Who shall I say has sent me?" And God says, "Say, I am hath sent me. I am that I am." He said, "That's what you say," right? So the Jews understood that name had to do with God Himself. Later on in the New Testament, one of the times that they want to stone Jesus is because when they said, "Who are you? You say that you're, before Abraham was, you were," right? You're saying, "Hey, I saw Abraham." They're like, "How in the world can you have seen Abraham? You're not even 50 years of age." And this is what Jesus says: "Before Abraham was, I am." Not "I was," He says, "I am." It's, in English, sometimes we might lose something. He's not saying, you know, "Before Abraham was, I was in existence." He's using the name. He's saying, "Before Abraham was, I was the I am that spoke to Moses. I was before Abraham. I am the I am." That's why they took up stones and they wanted to kill Him, because He was claiming to be God. Not some created being, not the Son of the Father from some unnamed spirit wife. No, He was claiming to be God. And that's why they wanted to stone Him. Jesus Christ is who He says He is. Now think about this. Think about this statement. Jesus Christ is who He says He is, or He is a liar and an imposter. There's no other way around it. Either Jesus is who He says He is. He is God, or He is a liar, and He is the greatest imposter that has ever lived. If He is not God, we have wasted our lives. If He's not God, if He's not who He says He is, right? And we need to know what we believe about Him and why we believe it. Because here's the thing. You are going to interact, if you haven't already, you're going to find people that say, "I don't believe in God." Okay, well, now what do you do? They say, "Well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe the Bible is true." What do you do? Okay, they just told you what they believe, though. They said, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in God. I believe that everything just happened."
Just like let's talk about like the nature and complexity of everything. Just like how everything like coexists in nature and everything like.
Mm-hmm.
And the stars and like how everything is perfectly designed. That can't
right.
happen on accident.
Sure.
Just like how I'd explain it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So like. That it points to an intelligent design.
Yeah, you can talk about design.
It has to be an intelligent designer.
Right. Yep. You can talk about the intelligent design and designer. But here's the thing that I want you to be careful of, right? Somebody says, "I don't believe in God, I don't believe the Bible." So here's what we're afraid to do. Well, if they don't believe in God, they don't believe the Bible, I can't use the Bible. Who said you can't use the Bible? Just because they say they don't believe the Bible, why would you be like, "Well, I can't use the Bible now"? Does the Bible say, God say about His Word, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? Mm-hmm. Then why would we not use it? Mm-hmm. Well, they don't believe it. Who cares? Who cares whether they believe it or not? Just because you say you don't believe something doesn't mean that it's not true. You can say, "Well, I don't believe in bears. I've never seen a bear. I don't believe in a bear." So when someone says, "I don't believe in God, I don't believe the Bible," that doesn't mean we just put the Bible in. Well, I guess you can't use the Bible. They say they don't believe it. The Bible is one of our greatest tools to use. And just because somebody says they don't believe it, don't stop using it, right? Well, say they don't believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Then use it. Because if you just put it away, well, they don't believe it, so I guess I can't use it. What are you saying? You're saying, I guess I don't believe it works either. They don't believe it, so I guess I can't use it. It must not really work. No, use it anyway. You say, well, what if they don't listen? They've already told you they're not going to listen. Right? They've already said, well, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe God. Use Scripture anyway. Right? And we'll get into how to talk with somebody. And obviously, like Jared said here, using creation, there's a designer, you know, how everything fits is a great way to go about that as well. But let's continue on here. We've only got a few minutes left. Jesus Christ affirmed that He is God in the New Testament, right? Look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, when he's talking to Nicodemus, watch what he says in verse number 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now, if Jesus is not God, how do you explain that verse? What did Jesus say in this verse that proves that He is God? Greg? That He is in heaven at that moment and He's on earth at that moment. It's not that He descended and ascended. No, no, no. Look what He says. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, wait a minute. Where is the Son of Man at that moment? He's talking to Nicodemus. He's face to face talking to Nicodemus, and yet He says, at the same time that I'm talking with you, Nicodemus, I'm also sitting in heaven at the same time. Now, you tell me that Jesus never claimed to be God. You hear people say all the time, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Maybe Jesus didn't come right out and say, I am God, right? Okay. Maybe He didn't say those exact words, but I can give you all kinds of scripture, just like this one, where He claimed to be God. He said, not only am I standing face to face with you, Nicodemus, but I'm also in heaven right now. He said it Himself, right? Look in chapter 5. In chapter 5. Verse number 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father. Now notice this. Making Himself equal with God. To claim to be the Son of God, the Jews understood He was claiming to be equal with God. He's equal. He's not somehow less than the Father. He's equal with God. And again, those listening had no doubt about what Christ was affirming. He said, if you're saying that your Father is God, you are saying you are equal with the Father. You're equal with God. Jesus says, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. You understand why they hated Him so much? Because over and over and over, He claims to be God. That's why in Philippians chapter 6, or chapter 2, in verse number 6, what does it say? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus was not taking anything away from the Father by being equal to the Father. Look, do we understand in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are equal. They are co-equal. They are co-powerful. They are co-eternal, right? They have always been, all three of them. There was never a time that the Father was, that the Son and the Spirit wasn't. Never a time. They have always been. They will always be. They are all powerful. Every attribute that the Father has, the Son and the Spirit has as well. And this is why Jesus can say, I am equal with the Father. I am God. Equal with the Father, not taking anything away from the Father by being equal to Him. Not taking anything away from the Spirit. Jesus said He's equal with God in works. Verse number 19, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. He said, whatever the Father does, the Son does. He says, I'm equal in works with the Father. Jesus said He's equal with God in knowledge, in verse number 20. For the Father loveth the Son, showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. He said, everything that the Father knows, the Son knows. Look in verse number 21. He's equal in power. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. They're equal in power. They're equal in honor, verse 22 and 23. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent Him. He says, if you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. You don't honor the Father, you don't honor the Son. That's pretty equal. And that's what Jesus is saying. We find many other examples of His claims. As I said, in John 8:58, He said, before Abraham was, I am. This expression, I am, is the same name for God given in the Old Testament, back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. In John 10:30, the Lord Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus didn't say, I am the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. They're equal. They're equal in the Godhead. John 19:7. The Jews were concluding their case for Christ to be put to death, and they said this in John 19:7, by our law He ought to die because He made Himself the Son of God. There was no doubt in the Jews' mind who Jesus claimed to be. That's why they wanted to stone Him. They wanted to crucify Him. That's why they did crucify Him, because He claimed to be the Son of God. John 4:26, notice what it says here. John 4:26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Well, who's the He? The woman said unto Him in verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. I think it was pretty clear. Jesus said, that's Me. That's Me. I that speak unto thee am He. Right? And just very quickly, we've got just a little bit of time left. Jesus Christ is who He says He is, and we can know God. So if the Scripture teaches us that Christ accepted what the Bible says about Him in the Old Testament, if He affirmed it in the gospel records that He is God, where does that leave us? It leaves us with the wonderful truth that because Christ is who He says He is, then we can know God. We can know God on a personal relationship. In John 14:5-9, again, in this passage, Christ declares to Philip that He indeed is God. I mean, when Philip comes and he says, hey, before you were under the fig tree, I knew you. He says, wait a minute, how could you know that? You weren't there. You said, because I pretty much know everything. So again, Christ being God is not just, it's not just a good idea. It is an absolutely the most important matter in life that Jesus is God and that we can know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Not only can we know Him, but then we can also tell others how they can know Him as their personal Savior, right? That's what I'm saying. If there is any doubt in your mind, well, I'm not really sure that Jesus is God or whatever, you've got to get that settled in your heart and in your mind before you can ever share Christ with anybody else, right? You've got to have that confidence and assurance in knowing, hey, I may not know all the Scriptures, I may not know it all, but I know one thing, Jesus is God, and there's no way that you can change my mind about it. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to talk to Jehovah's Witnesses, and you're going to talk to Mormons, you're going to talk to people of other faith, and you know what they're going to try to do? They're going to try to convince you that Jesus is not God. That's why they say, well, you can go to heaven by being baptized. You can go to heaven by being a good person. You can go to heaven by being part of our church. What are they trying to do? They're trying to convince you that Jesus is not God. And because He's not God, He cannot save you. You have to do something to save yourself. They're going to try to convince you in more ways than that. That's why I'm saying you've got to have that settled in your heart and your mind, who Jesus is. All right? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time we've had. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless as we continue to learn and study. Lord, just give us confidence and assurance in your word. And Lord, as we study your word, we know who Jesus Christ is. And Lord, that we'd be able to share that with others. And Lord, I know there's going to be others that doubt and do not believe. But Lord, may our faith and our confidence not be shaken. But Lord, may we have a confidence and a surety knowing who Jesus is because of what you've told us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.